Hi dear movie breakers, it's the final day of the Talent Black Knights tonight. The awards will be given. I'm here for you with the almost final interview, at least with the final artist. That's Natalie Brown. Hello, Natalie.
Hey.
Yesterday, I could see your film Oxygen. It already had its premiere at the Jerusalem Film Festival, where you also were nominated for the Ophir Awards. And maybe that's where most people have already heard about your film, because with a group of other films, it curves quite a steer for its war critical perspective. It's your feature film debut. You've made documentaries and short films. Would you like to talk about the idea to make this specific film your feature film debut?
The idea of this specific film, which is about a mother who does everything to save her son, who is a combat union soldier, having a transformation throughout the film from a normative Israeli mother who is willing to send her kids for war and for the army, to a mother who wants to stop this chain and to refuse. And the idea came to me more than a decade ago. There was another war in Israel, and my son was five and a half years old, or even just before six. It was the first time that I had to explain to him what is war and the reality in our country of soldiers and army. And it was because his best friend's brother was killed in that war. And I had to make him face a reality that we live in. And when I told him, or I tried to explain to him, so he told me, "Don't worry, mom, I run really fast. So when I will be a soldier, I will run between the bullets and I will not die." I was shocked by this sentence. First of all, because I understood that I didn't have to explain anything. He already knew. He already knew about his future. I mean, he already accepted the future that he will have to run between the bullets. It was the first time that I really became obsessed with this thought that how come, I mean, that parents just send their kids to war generation after generation with, you know, with no questions. And I tried to look in Israeli literature and Israeli cinema for a character that is different. And it was really difficult to find someone like this. There is very famous book by David Grossman. It's about a mother who runs away from home because she doesn't want to be at home when the army will knock at the door and will tell her that her son died. But she doesn't prevent this knocking on the door. She's just running away. David Grossman lost his son in the Second Lebanon War. And it was after he wrote this book. I kind of wanted to correspond with this book because I wanted to portray a mother who doesn't run away. On the contrary, she runs away, but with her kid. So this is how it all began. The reason that I moved from the documentary field to the fiction field with this film is because I didn't find a real mother that does such a thing. So I had to imagine her.
You already said that you ask yourself why every new generation accepts this reality of war and sends their kids off to war, and military service is obligatory in Israel, so there's no way to go around it. Have you found an answer to this question for yourself?
Yes. You know, Israel is a state that from its very beginning, we live on our sword. This is how you say it. I mean, it's every couple of years we have a war. I think that maybe, you know, the society just don't have another perspective of another kind of solutions. And we always, as a society, of course, it's the governments that lead us to this kind of solution. But the first solution is power. The first solution is war. And I believe it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, I'm not alone, of course. There is a great movement or peace movement in Israel. Now it seems that it's not big enough because, you know, we're stuck with a right-wing government, very violent, very fascist in my eyes, for decades and decades.
Your character in the beginning is seen staging a theater play. She's a teacher, so she's part of the system that teaches this ideology of war. And then she changes. How far would you say is her psychological change really a change? Does she understand that the system of war is wrong, or does she just not want to be a victim? Which is a big difference if I don't agree with a war, or if I say, like, I just don't want to sit safe at home.
Yeah, I think that, first of all, it's a beginning. This character is not me, and it was really difficult to write her because I didn't want to write a character that is a part of the peace movement in Israel and that has a specific political ideology or left ideology, because then it's not, there is no drama, there is no conflict. I really wanted the Israeli audience to, all the Israeli, almost all the Israeli audience to be able to identify with this mother. At the beginning, it's like a Trojan horse. And I wanted her to be part of the system and to do the feminine, I'm, you know, a part of the system, to be the nurturing mother and to help men or to help the children to become soldiers. You know, this is the old job for women, to be a part of the education, you know, to nurture the children to be whatever the society wants them to be. And I wanted her to be responsible, to show that women are also responsible and mothers are also responsible. They can't just say we are not a part of this man's world. It's not true. It's definitely not true in Israel. So I wanted her to be that kind of mother and also that kind of person. And she's also a daughter of a veteran, a soldier who suffers from PTSD. I mean, she's part of the system. She's stuck between her father and her son. And I wanted that throughout a very personal experience, she will gradually open her eyes, not because of a political enlightenment or seeing the others, you know. No, just a very, very extreme, even intimate personal experience that she will begin to think different. It must be the starting point, I think. And it's a very strong starting point. There is a small scene in the film. They sit in the beach, they talk, they laugh, and he goes inside the water. And then she sees a Palestinian woman with her kid. It's like a glimpse. She suddenly can see someone else. She suddenly see the other mother, and the other mother who is with her child. She does the same act that she did for her own child. I mean, the cream against the sun. For me, it's the beginning of her opening her eyes. Every mother in the world is like me, and we must protect our children. And this is it.
Interestingly, her biggest anniversary in this fight to protect her son is not the system, but her son herself, who wants to return to his unit and he wants to be in military and fight. How did you perceive this conflict? And what does it say about her as her mother that she wants to protect her child, but not for the child's sake, but for her own sake?
I thought about it a lot. I mean, I thought that the struggle, the fight against the system is too easy. And when the son, your own son, becomes the system, and actually you are a part of the system, but suddenly when it comes to a very personal sacrifice, you don't want to be a part of this system. And you look at your son that you grew up, I mean, that you grow up, and suddenly he becomes your enemy because you have to fight him. It's, I think it's much more interesting and raises a lot of questions, because she's not a Mother Teresa. She eventually she does a very violent act. It is about to raise questions of if only violence can prevent violence, and what are the boundaries of parenthood or motherhood. I don't have answers for it. I'm aware of the symbiotic connection between them, and I'm aware of the lack of boundaries that she has. I think that she doesn't, at least this is what I want to do, going to pay a huge price. I mean, she sends him away and she doesn't go with him. She sends him away and she works it out with his girlfriend to join him afterwards, gives up on him. And I believe that she keeps saying to him when he's unconscious, she keeps saying, forgive me, because she knows that he won't forgive her. Their relationship, which is the most important thing for her, but she wants him to leave. So, you know, at the beginning when I was writing the script and when my son was really small, I let her taking him with her. So she was running away with him. And then when years passed by and he grew up and I grew up as a mother, I changed it. And I let her also have a transformation, not just from in a meaning of national conscious and beginning to refuse the army system, but also in a psychological way, that she understands that she has to release him also from herself, not just from the army. They will not live in the same continent.
That's a very interesting thought. She has to release him from herself, because in a certain way, it's also the opposite of what she does, because she preserves the idea that he is alive, and an idea or concept or maybe even illusion that he would be well. And just like the other mother who runs away that you mentioned, she basically suppresses the reality that he might hate her. Isn't that even the essence of ideology? If I just cling to an abstract idea that might not have any relation to the real life situation, how far is it even a moral act if she prevents maybe her son from dying, but that is not what the son wants. And she also doesn't do it for the Israelis. It's pretty sure. I mean, even if though we have this little glimpse, but there's not enough in the film to establish that she would have a political agenda.
Yeah.
She has a personal agenda.
First of all, I think that there is not such a thing as, or there is not a real difference between a personal agenda and political agenda. And for me, I just wanted to convey a very radical personal act, but for me, it's a political act. And of course, to put it in a film, which is, it's not a piece of reality, it's a piece of thoughts. So it's a political thought. When I was writing the script, so it was more an allegory. And now when the film is starting to be presented in Israel, so the audience relates to the film in such a literal way. This is because the reality changed a lot. I screened it and mothers told me, asked me, what did she give him? What kind of medicine did she give? So I said, hey,
where can I buy it? Asking yeah, for a friend.
So I said, wait. It is a metaphor. It's very sad. It's tragic, I think, that this allegory that was meant to make people think, you know, to shake people. Sometimes this is what art must do, you know, just to provoke your numbing brain. It's not like, you know, a recipe. And of course that I don't think that if I will answer this very interesting question in tools of reality. I don't think that we should give our sons, this is roofies, this is what she gives him, and you know, and of course it's a very violent act. But I do think that we should totally shake the society, the Israeli society's mind to stop these endless wars. I mean, it's up to the society, in my opinion. Not enough people go out to the streets. Not enough people go to, you know. In this war, there was established a very big movement in Israel of parents to soldiers that very, in correspondence with Oxygen, feel that they don't want it anymore. They say, I'm not going to do it anymore. I will go and I will stop it. And by the way, there was a real mother just 2 or 3 weeks before the war stopped. She's a kindergarten teacher and she went to an Israeli base and she told her son, who was a combat union soldier, she told him, if you're not coming with me now home, I'm going to kill myself. And he went home. I don't care. I mean, which act, I mean, but I think that people has to think about it. And in a more universal thinking about motherhood and parenthood, not connected to the Israeli society and very specific situation. So I think it's very interesting to think about parenthood and its boundaries. How far can we go when and limit our children's freedom? I don't have answers for this.
Just one more question about the situation of Israeli cinema in the context of festivals. Some festivals have started to boycott Israeli films in general and not anymore invite Israeli filmmakers. How do you feel about such actions?
First of all, I'm personally paying a huge price because of the boycott, because I have, unfortunately, I have two films that I released this year, Oxygen, and another one is a documentary. Its name is Shooting. Because of the boycott, I'm not invited to many film festivals, but actually the managers of the film festivals are in contact with me and with the distribution company. And they say, we love the film. Our board don't let us screen Israeli films. It's painful for me. And personally, I don't believe in boycott of art. I mean, boycott weapons, the weapon, I mean, it's ridiculous because the weapon system, they don't boycott weapons and the weapon industry, but they boycott art. And most of the artists and filmmakers in Israel, they are fighting against against our government. Instead of empower the forces that, in Israel, which are liberal, they are silencing us. So we are being silenced inside of Israel from the government with censorship and so on. We are being silenced from outside.
Thank you so much, Natalie Brown, for this interview. Oxygen is now at the Talent Film Festival, The Black Knights. And as soon as it gets a German release, you can read it at Movie Break. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you.